The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
We'll drop to 58 tonight, 98 the high Friday, and then we cool to around 90 this weekend.
65 now, though, but going to heat up quickly from what it sounds like. Of course, with a high of 94 degrees, God bless the news channels because we wouldn't know how to handle hot weather. We wouldn't know how to handle hot weather without news channels saying, you know, you got to be hydrated. Yep, we get that. Stay in the shade. Bring your animals into the air-conditioned situation. I was hearing this from all the news sources talking about the heat. And the other thing is that we have to install alarms on cars so that parents don't leave kids to die inside the car. I mean, it's a serious subject, though, but I was thinking maybe what we should do then is require that the child actually be holding the cell phone, because I would be willing to guarantee that the same parents that would unfortunately leave children to die in a car would probably never forget their cell phone. Just saying. It's 10 minutes after 7. Open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. That's my conspiracy theory as we go into it right now. And John's here because he wants to go down the rabbit hole of these directed Delphi public consensus meetings being conducted by the Oregon Kitchen Table Group on the jet boat. John, you attended the last meeting, which is over at Tuvel Park, right? Were you there?
Correct. Uh-huh.
Tell us what happened there.
Yeah. Well, before I tell you what happened there, what happened up in Shady Cove not that long ago, a couple weeks ago, they filled the room with all the Berkeley, California new Rogue River homeowners. But what they did at Tuvel Park, it didn't fit their agenda, because most of the people, I'm going to say 80%, were the old-time people that lived in the Rogue Valley, that have fished their whole life, mm-hmm. that have jet boats, that have drift boats. But what they did is they do a consensus thing. So if you fill the house with people that want to restrict your ability to use the river, then that's going to go to Jeff Golden's committee in the state legislature, and they'll take away jet boats. They want to destroy the business that takes people down for the music events. They want people not to fish out of jet boats. What they'd really like to do, ultimately, is make it so it's fly fishing only, no bait, no real guides that fish other than with fly fishing. And it was, you know, the big lie is that 50 years ago, before the dam came in, the federal and state people came to us, and I was part of the Guides Association, the Rogue River Guides Association, and they told us that the hatchery that they were going to put in would double the size of the fish run. At the time, it was 260,000 salmon. Now it's under 5,000. And our fish hatchery is the worst run in the United States.
Isn't this the one that you're telling me that the power lines failed to it, then they replaced it with diesel generators, and then they didn't bring the fuel, right?
Correct. So they kill all the fish. They've done it a number of years where they've killed all the smolt. It's the worst run. So there was somebody there from the state, and I said, you know, I'm addressing these comments to you. It's the worst run hatchery in the United States. Why don't you guys get it together and make it work? But the real environmentalists, the real fly fishermen, don't think that hatchery fish should live. They think it should only be native fish. Well, there's hardly any native fish left. And of course, their ultimate goal would be to take out the dam on the Rogue River. But it was weird.
So do you look at this then as just another instrumental, or not an instrumental, but an incremental push once
right.
again to ultimately
right.
dam removal, and then you just turn the entire world Rogue River into a wildlife preserve for elite property owners out there, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
But the problem is, if they take out the dam, they'll kill all the fish like they did on the Klamath, and they'll destroy the river for our lifetime. But, you know, it was just interesting. These people, you know, that came down, they had all these different government agencies represented, and all these people live in Salem or Portland. And I'm not opposed to anybody making a choice, but all these young women that now are young boys are the ones presenting this. And it just is so not Rogue Valley. And it's just, you know, what they're trying. Many people got up and said over and over again, leave us alone. Let us have what we want. Let everybody enjoy the river. Let the fishing guides, let the jet boaters, let the rafters. There's never been an incident. And what I said is, in 50 years of being on the river, I've never seen a jet boat operator ever be discourteous to other people. They're very careful because they have a lot to lose if they run over somebody. And they don't have any arguments that the jet boats hurt the river. It's all not true. They didn't have anything that was the truth other than the emotion. So here's what I'm recommending to all the listeners. There's another meeting like this that's going to take place in Medford in the near future, and they vote. So get as many people out to vote to have them leave us alone and to leave the river as it is. If you don't do that, and they might even do it anyway. I think that it's sort of already made up their mind what they're going to do.
Well, this is the whole thing. You have to call out the fraud of the consensus process. There is other law based here, and they're trying to circumvent law by just getting a bunch of people to attend public meetings and fake that up as public input. We're not supposed to be using consensus process here. And like Ed, you know, Mr. X had talked about the other day, the Oregon Kitchen Table group was just renamed from Oregon's policy consensus stuff. In other words, just this this bedwetting, bleeding Marxism sort of thing in which we get all the gangrenes together in the same room to all have a predetermined outcome that the jet boats are going to go away, or the dam is going to go away, or we're going to lock up this property and lock up that property. And we have to fight this with the outrage that they should have nothing to do with what happens on the Rogue River, this Oregon Kitchen Table group, in this process.
Everything I've heard Mr. X say on your program was there. That's exactly what they were doing, and it's all just rigged. It's like it's very professionally done. It's like it's so slick. But I'm just telling you, you need to get your listeners to come out to the next meeting.
And it's going to be, let's see, 2 weeks from last Tuesday. So it'll be what? I think it's on Tuesday the 18th. Tuesday the 18th is when that is going to be on. And 5:30 till 7:30 at the Medford Library is where that's going to be, Jackson County Library, Medford Branch. Okay, that's when that's going to be.
If they don't show up, we'll lose our river.
All right, point well taken. Thanks for the call, John. Open phones here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, 770-5633. I think John lit the fuse on that one, huh? What's on your mind, too? I'd also like to pose another couple of questions here. We had Phil from Shady Cove the other day who was talking about, gosh, you know, I'm not seeing anybody really standing up. And then he wrote me back and he said, yeah, I realize it's going to take some time to digest. You look at the injustice on President Trump, done on President Trump. Whether you like President Trump or not is irrelevant. It's like the process was just a total fraud and should be an outrage to an American. What is standing up? What does standing up look like to you today in today's America? What is standing up? And being against this and showing your outrage over the process that was done, no matter your feelings. What does that look like these days? I'd like to take your call on that, too. Another question I would toss out there is, should conservative talk show hosts and others, Republicans, stop hammering on President Biden? Because wouldn't you rather President Trump go against President Biden than a last-minute replacement like any Twosome Newsome? I'm just raising the obvious here because, you know, say what you will, Gavin Newsom is a very smooth communist. He's a very smooth, very effective communist, though, unlike President Biden, who is a not very smooth a tyrant, you know, that kind of thing. So what are you thinking? Take your call on that. Anything else on your mind coming up?
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
The McPherson Agency and Farmers Insurance are known for helping with auto and home insurance needs, but we can also help with many business, bonding, and life insurance options. Hi, it's Megan McPherson, your local Farmers Insurance agent. My team and I would love the opportunity to offer a comprehensive review of your current policies. Give our office a call at 541-776-0673 or stop by our office. A straightforward and personalized approach is what you'll get when you choose me, Megan McPherson, as your local Farmers Insurance agent.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters, proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We got word that the House today issued criminal referrals from both Hunter and Jim Biden, which a brand new Trump Justice Department would be certain to pursue in January. And that's not lawfare. House Republicans referred Hunter and James Biden to the DOJ on Wednesday for criminal prosecution over allegations they lied to Congress during their closed-door interviews about their business dealing. These referrals come as the House Oversight Committee, which has been leading the impeachment inquiry, nears the conclusion of their investigation, which, because Republicans don't have a majority and they have about 20-plus rhinos in there, are not going to get a vote on the impeachment inquiry, so they have decided to go forward with criminal referrals.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-G-O-L-D. That's 855-815-GOLD.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED.
20 minutes after 7 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, in about 15 minutes, Jack Cashel, investigative journalist, one of my favorite authors. I first started talking with him after TWA 800, after that fraud was promulgated by the CIA. Remember, oh yeah, here's how the nose of the plane broke off, and then the plane kept going up, happening to no plane ever. But anyway, this time he's turned his attention to January 6th. There's a new book out called Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th. We'll talk with Jack Cashel here in just a few minutes. And we got Logan here. Logan, how do you end up standing up in today's America, in your view? Right? Phil was talking about that the other day. You've talked about things like this. Let's hear your opinion.
Well, we need more Davids to fight the Goliath that we're facing. And the bottom line is we need courage. I encourage people to, you know, when they have this next election cycle coming up, or even 4 years from now, 2 years from now, to run for something. You know, I ran for Jackson County Commissioner. I was kind of poo-pooed on a lot. You know, even the gentleman, he owns the Eagle. I wasn't even mentioned in their paper. I called them to let them know they missed one of the candidates. You know, never got a return, never got anything. I couldn't get any airtime. I spent $50 on my whole campaign, and that was to actually register to run. Didn't spend $1, didn't make one sign, but just by word of mouth and people, even though I was poo-pooed on a lot, I managed to get 4% of the vote.
Yeah, I know. I advised against you doing that, though. You remember.
You did. You wouldn't even give me airtime, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and there's a reason, because you needed to take care of your situation. And you called me on the air, Logan, from 2 North. Do you remember?
Absolutely.
I do.
Yeah, within 3 hours of me filling out my application to turn it in, Bill, I was arrested by the Metro Police. You know who I'm running against, correct?
I know. You make some pretty big claims about that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm fine with people running. But I'm also fine with people who are running who actually have the ability and don't have baggage to be able to run credible campaigns tight stuff.
But that's purely an opinion.
That's right. And I gave you mine.
Purely an opinion.
And I gave you my opinion. And I think other people were giving you your opinion, too. I mean, God bless you, Logan. But sometimes that we have to be willing to put ego aside and grab a clue occasionally when a clue is smacking us up beside the head. Okay.
Let me remind you of two words: convicted felon. I'm voting for him. Okay. They're going to do the same thing that's happening. It happens at a local level, Bill, and people say, "Oh no."
No, it's not the same with you, Logan. Okay.
Okay. Well, look into it, Bill.
All right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't go down that rabbit hole. It's just insanity. Okay. Hello, Dave. Go ahead. Morning.
Yeah, I wanted to say is Newsom will be nominated for president. He's not well liked either. Kamala Harris and him don't get along at all. But aside that, they've made some announcements of some major arrests. They arrested 470 illegal aliens, and then they busted a theft ring that was stealing high dollar stuff from, you know, all the expensive jewelry stores. So he's trying to portray he's tough on crime.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I still say, though, that the Democrats would much prefer to front him up if they had a way to replace Joe at this point. And that's why you see the mainstream that's why you see the mainstream newspapers, like even Wall Street Journal. Now they're saying, oh, you know, gosh, I guess he really is infirm. And all I'm saying is that would you rather President Trump run against Biden or someone else?
I'd rather see Biden get trounced by Trump.
Yeah, and well, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it, too. Appreciate the call. Let me grab one more. Mr. X is standing by here, too. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, hey, Bill. So you asked how do we show our outrage, you know, about, like, Trump or other things. And so I would simply say I don't have any outrage, you know. And the point of a headline is deliberately to get inside your ear and make you outraged, I would be highly suspect of it. You know, and I talked to you before about this, but, you know, these particularly egregious news stories that, that you know, we hear about constantly, they are literally there just to make you outraged. That is the point of the whole story.
Well, yeah, even the term you see sparks outrage. How often do you see that in a headline, right?
Yeah, that's the point, is to keep people outraged. I mean, the people that convicted Trump, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, all those people, you know, those people are just like me. They just had different life experiences. They made different decisions. There's nothing to be outraged about.
I can't say they're just like you. I disagree with you on that, David. God love you. I don't think they're just like you. No.
They were made in the Creator's image, just like all of us.
Oh, they may have been made in the Creator's image, but they're not made in the Creator's image right now by their choices and decisions, in my opinion. God love you. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Mr. X. Hello, Ed. How you doing?
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Doing fine. Give me a quick take here on what I guess you're going to weigh in on what John had mentioned there on the river meetings. By the way, I aired in my meeting news when I talked about that. Commissioner Roberts corrected me. Thank you very much, Colleen. The next Oregon kitchen table fraudulent jet boat meeting is Monday, June 17th, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Medford Library in Jackson County. Okay? All right. That's when that is. So please.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, as long as that's clarified. Well, it's looking and listening to John, every aspect. And we have to wake up. Okay? This is the bottom line. And you have to understand the background of this Oregon kitchen table aspect of it, and I have it open here right now. I sent you ability to. It's part of the National Policy Consensus Center at Portland State University. It's part of a three-part program that they have now. But what you have to remember is that the Oregon kitchen table is relatively a new name for this. Originally, it was called the Policy Consensus Initiative. But what you have to pay attention to is the incidentals of a quotation, okay? Now, what they want to take this to, and this is right off of their page, I'm reading this, it's below opportunities for public input, and then it goes to the Oregon Citizens Assembly. Starting in 2020, Oregon's kitchen table will also be launching the Oregon Citizens Assembly to consider and potentially propose a series of reforms that might strengthen democracy in our state.
Uh-huh.
A citizens' assembly is a elected and demographically balanced body of citizens, anywhere from 12 to several hundred, who come together to deliberate on a given issue and provide a set of recommendations, options, or collective decision to the convening body.
So it sounds to me like it's almost almost like a replacement to actual legislatures.
Well, it's a replacement to our own opinions.
Well, yeah, exactly, in which they're going to, it's just a continuation. We're going to tell you what we think that we want you to have, good and hard, is what this all is. This is a fraud, okay?
You have to illustrate how much of a fraud it's to strengthen democracy in our state. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to go back and keep reminding these people. It's not a democracy. It's a representative republic, and it's governed by the rule of law. And these people are nothing more than an intrusion. And when you look at this and break it down, that's the simplistic nature, but it requires you to be involved. It also requires you to, as a citizen, start stepping up and making the demand that they remove these people and their acts of intrusion.
In fact, that's what I'm going to have to do at that Monday meeting, Ed. I'm going to have to do that. I have to go there and make a comment because these people need called out for the fraud they are. They need removed from this entire decision-making process. This is not what our republic is about here. And, you know,
And so...
I'm almost out of time. I don't have time to wax poetic on this. We may have to pick this up at another time, but will you be at the meeting, hopefully? Because I'm going to be at that meeting.
I'm going to try my best, Bill.
All right. Thank you very much. So it's Monday the 17th is when this is, by the way. Monday the 17th, 5:30 till 7:30, okay? All right. 7:30. Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy, so if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like 3-0.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition.
Composite. Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing Crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
One of each Forte VIN 785766 MSRP 21645 Sol VIN 237299 MSRP 22140 3500 due 10K miles per year zero security deposit all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax title license 150 registration processing fee trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt negative equity apply to new loan balance and 63024.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford during the summer sticker sales event. Hurry in to get more cash for your trade in. Then trade up and save on our huge Kia selection, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. World War II veterans are joining heads of state and others for poignant ceremonies on the beaches of Normandy. to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day. U.S. President Joe Biden, French President Emmanuel Macron, and other leaders paid tribute to the dead and living in moving tributes. Jurors in Hunter Biden's criminal trial got a look at the .38-caliber Colt revolver he bought back in October 2018. Federal prosecutors have argued the younger Biden was in the throes of a heavy crack addiction when he bought the gun, and they've accused him of lying on the form. Boeing's space capsule has sprung more helium leaks as it closes in on the International Space Station. Boeing and NASA continue to press ahead for a docking with the space station. On Wall Street, the Dow's ahead 110 points. More details at SRNnews.com.
Government debt is now exploding by an unprecedented $1 trillion every 90 days. Think of that. It's a clear sign that our nation's finances are spinning out of control, and it's putting the savings of every one of you at risk. Hello, I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst and best-selling author and an evangelical leader. I'm deeply concerned about the impact this runaway debt is going to have on Christians like you who have worked hard to build your own nest egg for your family. To protect your financial future in these uncertain times, you need to diversify with something tangible and proven, like physical gold. That's why I recommend a gold IRA. To learn more, text FAITH to the number 989898, and my friends at Birch Gold Group will rush you a free info kit on how to move your IRA or 401k to physical precious metals, tax and penalty free. So don't wait. Just text the word FAITH to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs. Birch Gold Group is the only company I trust. There's no obligation. So text FAITH to 989898, and I pray this information helps you achieve prosperity and peace of mind.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Right now, purchase a set of four qualifying Yokohama tires through June 15th and get up to a $100 rebate. Get an additional $50 when you purchase with your Tire Pros credit card. There's 14 different tires to choose from, including Geolander AT for your truck or SUV and the Avid Ascend LX for your passenger car. So stop by or call for details to save right now on quality Yokohama tires exclusively at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Your Medford Rogues are back with a full slate of Pacific Empire League games at Harry and David Field this summer. The Rogues host six consecutive games this week. Alameda Anchors drop in Tuesday through Thursday, then the Redmond Dudes amble into town for another three-game homestand Friday through Sunday. Buy tickets online at MedfordRogues.com or call the box office and pick up. Box office opens at 5:45 p.m. Take the family out to the ballpark and catch all the Pacific Empire League action this summer at Harry and David Field. Visit MedfordRogues.com.
The Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED.
7:36, Jack Cashel rejoins the show here. It's been way too long. Jack, I first started talking to you back when you had TWA Flight 800. You've written seven books, right? And I always remember how we were talking about that amazing CIA animation fabrication on how supposedly the fuel tank blows up, blows the nose off the plane, and the rest of the plane just keeps going up higher and higher and higher, right?
And aviators, when they saw that, they were shocked, you know, because they knew better. I mean, they knew that this was impossible. In fact, they were outraged. What they should have been outraged by even before that is, what was the CIA doing managing a domestic airplane crash, right?
Yeah.
That should have been a clue right there that things weren't as they should have been. And as we see now, it's become outrageous and crazy. I was just watching a clip of John Brennan from 4 years ago telling us how the Hunter Biden laptop was classic Russian disinformation, right? Former CIA head, one of 51 intelligence officials who signed on to that. What may be the most, no, it's hard to keep up anymore. Was the most massive psyop of our time.
Oh, I know. And is it not amazing how many CIA people are just sort of you know, centered into the metal of the media, right? Is it just me, or it's just astounding me how many intelligence people or so-called former intelligence people are delivering news and analysis? Okay.
Well, you know, with CW800, I know of at least two major reporters who are totally affiliated with the CIA. I mean, they're working for it directly or indirectly. But you know what? I raised the Hunter Biden laptop thing, and we have 51 intelligence officials that turned the election. Conservative estimates say that had this story been true, it would have cost Biden 4% of his vote, which would have meant Trump would have had too many votes to steal away from. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I was just watching just before we came on air a 20-minute clip that Elon Musk had reposted of how the media played that story. And since I don't watch major media, I wasn't quite aware of how bad it was. But it's shocking and outrageous. And it's what triggered, in my new book, Ashley, The Untold Story of January 6th, Untold Story of the Women of January 6th, it triggered many of the people I spoke with, finally, to say, getting off their butts and saying, we've got to go to Washington and have our voice heard.
Now, Jack, you're an independent writer and producer. Like I said, you've written so many books, and I'm glad that you have turned your attention to this. And yeah, even though we were talking about 800, that was one of the first ones I talked to you. Your latest is Ashley, right. The Untold Story of the women, of January 6th. And you spotlight, 10 women in this, including Ashley Babbitt. And if you don't mind, maybe if you could just break down some of the mainstream intelligence agencies spreading falsehoods and myth-making that came out of January 6th and these women you profiled.
I profiled 10 of them. 8 of them have survived the day. 2 did not. Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed. Roseanne Boylan was pushed down a flight of steps under a pile of humanity, and she was smothered. And then once she was pulled out from under the pile, a policewoman picked up a branch and beat her over the head 3 times. This is all captured on video. I would say that the biggest intelligence trick of that day is one that's not been talked about by anyone else before that I know of. And I got the inside information from one of the women I profiled. Her name is Sarah Carpenter. She was a NYPD officer driving back to New York after the events on January 6th. She had basically an uneventful day while wandering around the Capitol like everyone else.
Right.
And she calls a friend who lives in Maryland, thinking she might stop by on the way back. And when the friend finds out that Sarah was at the Capitol, the friend's horrified. She's shrieking, "You killed a man. You killed a man with a fire extinguisher. Your people, took a fire extinguisher and hit a man over a Capitol police officer over the head and killed him."
Yeah, this is the Brian Sicknick fraud that was put out, right?
Right. So what Sarah unwittingly established was that rumor was rampant on the night of January 6th. On January 7th, Brian Sicknick dies of natural causes. He dies of a stroke, a series of strokes. Someone made the conscious decision to wed the rumor to the death of Brian Sicknick. This is how ghoulish it gets. The New York Times on January 8th cites 2 law enforcement officials as their source for this tragic retelling of how Brian Sicknick, with a huge gash in his head, blood flowing out, was rushed out of the Capitol and taken to the hospital where he died. This is in the January 8th New York Times. Someone planted that story. And then instead of releasing the autopsy report, which was done on January 8th also.
Well, it took 100 days. Did it take 100 days to get that autopsy?
And it was forced out by the Judicial Watch. Otherwise, they might never have released it. So for those 100 days, they were allowed to set the narrative of this lethal, horrible, murderous rampage. And no one dared defend it. You know, the Republicans were cowed into silence. They thought this was true. And that is, guys, and so it is such a, what amazes me, Bill, is that I tell stories that no one else bothers to tell, like CW800. The major media, if I were in the New York Times newsroom and I was a serious reporter, I would want to know how that decision was made. who decided to, this is a ghoulish thing to do. You're taking a dead man, died of natural causes, Trump supporter. It's not like he has no responsibility for this. I mean, it was done to him. And say, okay, we could take this stroke guy, victim, and make him now the victim of this. We feed it to the New York Times, bingo. And then to solidify the deal, Bill, they take his ashes and have a memorial in the rotunda of the Capitol.
In the rotunda, as if he died on duty because of the insurrectionists that we were ceaselessly told about. You know, Jack, before we get into more about the book, Ashley, were you suspicious and it wasn't that I was considering myself like a psychic or anything like that, but in the lead up to January 6th, I was warning folks on the air, you don't want to get involved in this. I got a bad feeling about what this, in other words, implying that there was that this was a trap that had been set very expertly to get well-meaning people in there. Did you have any suspicion about this, or did you think it was just going to go off like a regular day?
No, I had suspicions too, which is why I was not tempted to go. You can almost see where it was heading. And it's odd because the planning was not as good as they would have liked it to be. And the one person who was not part of that plan was Michael Byrd, the Capitol Police Lieutenant, who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt.
Yeah.
That wasn't supposed to happen. That threw a whole wrinkle into the planning, and it also made it necessary for them to create a counter martyr. Rather than let Ashley Babbitt be the martyr, they had to create a martyr of their own.
And that's why Brian Sicknick had to become the fake martyr out of the January 6th.
Hmm. Right. And there's also a couple other things about, looking at it, I think when people look to see a conspiracy I've written about several, and I'm very careful about, saying something's a conspiracy just because it's too easy to say. There are conspiracies of execution, there's conspiracies of concealment. Concealment is, they're a dime a dozen. Execution are rarer. But there was an element of execution involved in this, and it involved at least two major components. One was the pipe bombs planted around the DNC and RNC. And the other was the Ray Epps drama, mm-hmm. which was, both of them were handled clumsily. They weren't well done.
Oh, I know. The Ray Epps thing, it looked like obviously that they were treating this guy with kid gloves. Well, at the same time, anybody else that was near the near the Capitol or inside was ramrodded through the system, right?
No, you're right. In fact, you can tell who the people were who had friends, which of the provocateurs had friends and which didn't. Some of them were free agents who came to provoke. Mm-hmm. So like, what's his name, Jake Sullivan, the guy who was, John Earl Sullivan, the black BLM guy who took the images of Ashley being shot, was a freelancer. He was there just to try to provoke people into doing bad things. But he was not protected. And so he gets 3 years in prison. Mm-hmm. Ray Epps, finally, because it was becoming too embarrassing not to do anything, they slapped him with probation. Whereas so many people, at least 500 people went to prison for doing nothing nearly as severe as Ray Epps did. And the other element of this that became clear to me in watching it is that Ray Epps' crew, that he marched down Pennsylvania Avenue, did not hear Trump speak. Trump was an hour late, inexplicably, an hour late in giving his speech, which really screwed their plans up because everything was supposed to start at 1 p.m.
Oh.
So Epps was marching down Pennsylvania Avenue with his ad hoc groups at the MP Metropolitan Police, and they arrive at just before 1. They're ready for action right then. That's when the first breach occurs. That's when the bombs are set to be discovered at 1 o'clock. Meanwhile, Trump's people are back on the ellipse 45 minutes away listening to him speak. Had he begun on time, there would have been multiple thousands more people there at that breach point. As it was, there were just maybe 1,000 people max, and none of them went to the speech. So the idea that Trump incited them to riot or to break that first barrier.
He was too late. He was too late to do that, yeah. Right?
Right. That's. I'm surprised the Trump people haven't brought that up.
Interesting.
I mean, so much has been suppressed. They may have tried to, but, and of course, no one in the major media ever played the peacefully and patriotically part of that speech.
No, they never did. They always cut that part out. That part was always missing. Jack Cashel with me, and he has yet another tour de force here. It's Ashley, the untold story of the women of January 6th. Like I said, Ashley Babbitt, one of the ones portrayed. You say that a lot of people don't realize that Ashley was actually trying to get police involved in this, and that's something that did not get reported at all, because essentially she was just brought up as a insurrectionist and trying to, overturn the election, et cetera, right?
No, I looked at the scale. I mean, I looked at all the video of all the lawsuits, everything, and it's pretty clear what happens. She she's a real independent soul. She's in Washington by herself. Her husband had to stay behind and take care of their business. And she's a 14-year Air Force veteran, and her role as an Air Force veteran was as military police. So she walks down this long corridor to the doors of the Speaker's lobby, which is like a foyer before you get to the House floor. And she gets there, and there's only one amateur, citizen journalist with her taking video, which is fortunately very helpful. And so just the two of them approach these three officers guarding the door, facing out. And they start joking with each other, right? And they're talking and just carrying on. The guy offers them some water. And then this whole corridor fills up with this crowd of people. Some of whom are provocateurs. They're not friends. And they begin to jam into the crowd. And now Ashley's 5'2". I mean, she's, you can get overwhelmed in a crowd. Like,
oh, sure.
And one of the guys starts just reaching between the officers to punch the window with his fist. And he's cracking the window. He's not breaking him. And then Ashley gets in the face of the officer. She says, and she's dropping more than a few F-bombs, which is saying, do your effing job. Call for backup. You know, what are you doing? Do your job, right?
Yeah.
She's getting concerned by the mob behind her. And finally, inexplicably, they just walk away. The three officers just leave the doors.
The three officers walk away as Ashley Babbitt is begging for them, do your job, call for backup. Right. They just walk away?
They walk away. And then what happens is one character, his name is Zachary Lamb, he has a multiple felonies under his belt before he arrives there, has no social media history tying into Trump or MAGA, grabs a helmet, and now he starts breaking out the windows, right?
Yeah.
And you can see Ashley's like frustrated. And at one point, in fact, just before the end game, she's so mad, she grabs his backpack, Zachary's backpack, and he turns around when she pulls him back, and she's a left-hander, and she cold cocks him, knocks his glasses off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then someone shouts, there's a gun, there's a gun, at which point she jumps into that window frame, and she gets shot and killed. The best argument is that she was just trying to get out of that, the madness that was behind her. And she doesn't know who has the gun. She probably presumes it's on her side, because it's the people on her side of the partition who are yelling, there's a gun, right? She doesn't see it. She's on the far side. The gun is on the far left side. She's on the right side. And then she's shot and killed. And then 8 months, we don't even know the officer's name for 8 months.
By the way, why did that officer get promoted?
He got promoted to show us that they don't care, right? And, it'd be one thing to, hide him away or put him in administrative detail or like in the inventory room or something, but to promote him, that is an in-your-face gesture. I just find that unforgivable.
This is a screw you, America,
kind of moment,
because we don't care. We don't have to care. And we're going to show you how we don't have to care. Interesting.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And then the woman who beats the other dead protester, Roseanne Boylan, over the head with the log, which is captured on video, gets sent to the Super Bowl to be celebrated as a hero of January 6th a month later.
Wow.
It sounds like an infuriating book, but what's encouraging about it, what I found encouraging, was that all eight of the surviving women stayed true to their cause. None of them buckled. You know, none of them said, oh, we were so stupid. What do we do this for? Trump lied to us. No, they just knew more than the rest of us, and they cared more than the rest of us.
Jack, you know, you had talked about, what was it, conspiracies of concealment, right? Concealing an action. And what was the other one? Concealment of...
conspiracy of execution.
Conspiracy of execution. Overall, would you say that January 6th and Washington's response to same Capitol, FBI, CIA, all the rest of us, was this a concealment of action?
I would say it's 90% concealment, 10% execution.
Execution. Okay.
Yeah. And the execution, the giveaway is this. There's the Ray Epps factor is one thing, but the pipe bomb, right? They're both found semi-miraculously just about 1 p.m., just when Epps and his crew were breaching that first lightly guarded barrier of bike rack. And again, they screwed it up. They made a mistake. So one of the bombs is planted outside the DNC. The FBI insists it was planted the night before. But unbeknownst to the plotters, Kamala Harris shows up at the DNC that morning. And so the Secret Service detail comes with her. And so they have guard dogs, surveillance dogs, sniffing outside the barracks.
And you could figure they would have sniffed out a bomb there in the vicinity, right?
You see it. I mean, it's sitting there like, you know, you can guard. It wasn't even concealed harbor, you know? And then here's how we know that they knew something was amiss and that they had screwed up. So for 1 year after that revelation of the pipe bombs being found at the DNC, no one in the media reported or even knew that Kamala Harris had been at the DNC that exactly when those bombs were planted. Now, drama queen that she is, we would have been hearing for that whole year about, I was right there. I could have been blown up by these terrible insurrectionists, right?
Right.
She never said a word. She still hasn't said a word about it. Neither has Joe Biden. And yet for that year, the pipe bombs were laid as they were part of the insurrection. They were part of the plot to divert officers away from which they did, actually, divert officers away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a plot involved, but it wasn't by the January 6ers. And the problem for the plotters is that not everyone was in on the – not everyone got the playbook. Kamala didn't get the playbook. So for a year, they had to pretend that Kamala was at the Capitol.
Instead of at the DNC where the bomb was. Okay.
Right. So, and this reverberated in the court because the judge was giving jurors instructions that part of the reason that they should, enhance the penalty is because key people, like the two people they mentioned, Pence and Kamala Harris, were at the Capitol when that, the insurrection took place. And then they had to go back and walk all that back when the story finally broke a year later that she was at the DNC. And in fact, I called this chapter, Bill, you've been around long enough to understand why, John Doe number 3. Because if you remember, in Oklahoma City in 1995, Timothy McVeigh was spotted with an accomplice at the scene by at least 30 people.
Yeah.
The FBI attested as much. And the preliminary hearing, they said, they went through all the people who had seen him. They put out a national manhunt for John Doe number 2, the accomplice of Timothy McVeigh. And a short, squat, dark guy, swarthy guy. Nationwide manhunt, right? It just goes away. Same thing with the pipe bomber.
They have the pictures.
$500,000 reward.
Yeah, they show the video, and they have everybody's cell phone tracking, and they're able to track everybody there, but they can't find this guy. Fascinating.
Yeah, he just goes away. John Doe number 3. Mm-hmm. The $500,000 reward, maybe I'll turn myself in. Say I did it.
I suppose so. You know, when you look back at TWA 800, when you look back at the Timothy McVeigh thing, Maybe our challenge as citizens is that we're still trying to convince ourselves that somehow the false flags and the Reichstag fires done by our own government are just a new development. Could that be a challenge we're facing still?
No, that's right. And Reichstag fires, you know, I hate to use Hitler metaphors, but it's one, it works perfectly here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as with the Reichstag fire, this would be burning down of the German parliament, basically. I think it was 1933. We don't know that Hitler said it, but it didn't matter. Because what they did is they exploited it, and they used it to round up all the political opposition and to imprison them and to kill them.
Which is what happened here, too.
Which is exactly what happened here. We have, you know, nearly 1,500 people now who've been arrested, prosecuted, and, you know, getting to know them. And getting to know them through the women, you see, of the eight women that survived that day, six, I mean, I chose these women almost randomly, not quite, but close. Six of them have been imprisoned so far, and two more await sentencing, including a great-grandmother. And among them, the most overtly criminal act any committed was to break a window.
Yeah, that's called vandalism usually. It'll be prosecuted, but it's usually small ball kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a misdemeanor. You get, you know, maybe you get 30 days in a slam or something. The mm-hmm. woman who broke the window, the mother of eight, get 5 years in prison. She's in prison now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so political prosecutions have already been well in place even before. What are you hoping will be accomplished by the book, Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th? What are you hoping people will get from this and maybe move forward with it?
Well, you know, for readers, it's a really great human interest story. And I think it's inspiring. I mean, even though bad things happen, it's inspiring that these women were so courageous and they've remained true to their colors. I mean, none of them has waffled or buckled or, you know, or denounced the president or anything like that. They will also, I think, you also see just the way it worked. Ideally, I would like to get this in the president's hands because they don't. The book lays out the architecture of what happened that day. You know, you write a book, you have the opportunity to really get in the weeds and study it, right? And I've always avoided, you know, easy conspiracies. I just go with the data, and the data here strongly support. I mean, there's a huge cover-up involved, of course, especially with the
pipe bomb
through the medical examiner's office.
Yeah, sure.
But the execution part, Trump should be asking Biden who had Brian Sicknick murdered, right? Who had this man, this dead guy, murdered? And the other question is, who were the pipe bombers?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the execution part of this plan. The rest is, you know, everyone's covering up, concealing, lying, the whole January 6th committee. I read the report hoping to find something that was true. It's not easy.
Yeah. I wish President Trump could read this book. One of my concerns that I have about President Trump is that he's willing to look at the conspiracies, you know, against him. But I think that he may err in thinking that most of the conspiracy is directed just at him, and I would imagine that his staff is not going to try to bother him with such details of what you're bringing up in Ashley. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about that.
He's been better than any other elected official who's fallen down in the job. Our elected Republicans don't want to talk about this at all.
Oh,
Trump
I know.
Has talked about it, and he knows that it's part of the same, you know, what happened to him was just an extension of what happened to these people. And that is the corruption of the judicial system, the weaponization of it, and the way of attacking political enemies. And it's the same problem. And it should be number one campaign issue this year, the restoration of justice. Everything else fades away. If you don't have a judicial system you could trust, you know, they'll be able to imprison whoever they want in prison.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the danger of where we have come here at this point. Very important book here, Jack. Jack Cashel, it's Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th, and I'll post all the information. It's available at all the usual sources. Has Amazon banned you for having, what do you call it, disinformation? Just curious.
I worry about that because we've become so dependent on Amazon. I hate to say it, but that's the real channel for distributing books today. I buy my books through Barnes & Noble. In fact, the book, you can buy this book through BarnesandNoble.com also.
Okay.
It probably won't be stocked at your store, but they can order it for you. But Amazon is where they keep score today. So I'm really dependent on them playing straight. I think they're
The ginormous controls everything. Politically active corporation. Nothing to worry about though. Let's have it control all of your books and information. All right.
Yeah.
Jack Cashel, Ashley, the untold story of the women of January 6th.
When you choose a contractor, how do you know you're getting the best? Anyone can claim to be the area's top, but numbers don't lie. When you hire Clouser Drilling, you're getting a company that has 1 million feet, 40.